The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Look in your Bible again, if you will, Ephesians chapter 6. We'll look at verse 10 through 14, where the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able," now watch what it says, "to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Then here comes, if you would please, two powerful words that you ought to take and put into practice tonight, where it says in verse 14, "Stand therefore." It seems like that there's a generation that we have lost over the years of people standing for old-time religion, people standing for that which is right, people proud to stand for that which is right. It just seems like that our churches are becoming more and more conditioned to compromise than it is to stand for the truth. And I want to speak tonight on don't change. Don't change. You know, we got this far by not changing. And by the way, we'll continue to go forward by not changing. And I want to give you some thoughts tonight on what not to change. Statement one, don't change what you believe. Don't change what you believe. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Now, there is not that which is a truth and an untruth, and you ought to be heading more towards the untruth than that which is the truth. You ought to decide tonight that the Word of God is truth. You ought to decide tonight that you're going to obey the Word of God. By the way, for 30 years, I've been standing for the King James Bible. That is not going to change. For 30 years, I've been standing for that which is Bible standards. That's not going to change. For 30 years, it's been old-fashioned Bible preaching, and we're not about to change that around here. We're not going to change the scriptural music that we sing that has a Bible base and a solid foundation. We're not going to change the solid families that we're training to serve the Lord, and we're not going to back off and personal soul winning. We're not going to take and decide that we're going to have less buses, but we're one day going to get more buses, and we're going to run them, and we're going to push, and we're going to try and see as many people saved in the Dallas metro area that we possibly can. So I'm saying there's some things that we ought to decide we're not going to change on tonight. Statement number one, don't change what you believe. You say, well, the non-denominational churches are doing this. It doesn't matter to me. Well, you know, the contemporary churches are doing this. Well, that doesn't matter to me a whole lot either. I'm saying that in a world that's changing, we need some young people to stand up, and we need some college-age young people to stand up, and we need some adults to stand up and just raise the old flag and raise the old banner and just decide tonight we're not going to change. I'm saying that, you know, tonight I promise you, if you decided you were going to compromise and you were going to go join some neo outfit, you wouldn't feel too comfortable being with that neo outfit tonight. And let me tell you why. Simply because you know too much Bible. I've never seen a fundamentalist that compromised that felt comfortable in their compromise simply because of the fact they know too much Bible. Now tonight, you need to decide that you're not going to change in your belief. Well, you know, my neighbor doesn't do it. Doesn't matter. Don't change. Well, you know, this other preacher doesn't do it. Doesn't matter. Don't change. Well, you know, it's a popular thing to do. It may be popular someplace else, but let's hold the banner high and let's decide that Parkside Baptist Church is not going to change when it comes to Bible belief and Bible preaching and Bible teaching. Let's decide. And it doesn't matter if you're criticized tonight. It doesn't matter if somebody makes fun about you that's attending a compromising church. You just decide that you're going to believe in old-fashioned religion tonight and keep the Bible as the Bible. Statement number one, don't change what you believe. Statement number two, don't change the way you live. Well, you know, it's hard raising a teenager. I know most teenagers tonight are raising their daddies. Well, it's just hard to make sure that my little teenager decides to do right. Well, I understand that, but let me tell you something. Put your britches on and you just decide to be an old-fashioned dad. You decide that right is right and wrong is wrong, and you decide that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and it doesn't matter what your neighbor does, and it doesn't matter what somebody sits beside you does that's sitting in the same church. You just decide as a family man that you're going to live out that which is the Bible. You know, it's amazing how we take and we decide what we're going to do based on how we feel. Isn't it amazing? You'll put your suit and your tie on, and you'll come into the church house, and then you'll go home at night and watch something despicable and wicked on the television. And yet you think that your kids are going to have a great amount of trust in you? Well, it sure would be nice if you'd be Christian all the way through. Wouldn't it be nice if when we rode with you in the car, we actually heard Christian music? Hey, wouldn't it be nice tonight if we came to your house and we looked through your DVD collection that we didn't find any cursing and we didn't find any bad music? Hey, wouldn't it be nice tonight if we were as holy as we pretend to be in church? Wouldn't it be nice tonight if we just decided right is right and to put on that breastplate of righteousness tonight? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Hey, for 30 years we've been preaching and we've been believing that adultery is wrong, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, adultery is still wrong. We've been preaching and we've been believing that fornication is wrong. And can I tell you tonight, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, fornication is still wrong. Going to the dances tonight and dancing around on a platform or on a dance floor tonight and a boy rubbing himself against a girl, I'm telling you tonight, it's still wrong. Can I tell you tonight, going out and going mixed bathing where you have nudity, one in front, I'm telling you tonight, it's still wrong. You say, well, so-and-so does it. Then so-and-so is wrong. But don't you dip your colors just because hey, it's still right for a man to have a short hair. It is still right for a man to dress like a man, walk like a man, talk like a man, act like a man. It is still right. And you take honor in it tonight, ladies, for ladies to put on a dress and act the part that God has given you. And you decide that right is still right. And it doesn't matter what anybody says. You rise up and do what is right to do. I'm saying tonight, don't change your belief. Statement number two, don't change your way. It's your way of living I'm talking about. Statement number two. Statement number three, don't change what you do. I'm just not talking about the way you say you're going to live. I'm talking about everything that you do. Here's what it says, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. The Bible says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Fundamentalism cut its teeth years ago on soul winning. One of the first things that's an indicator of a backsliding Christian is that they stop going soul winning. Then before you know it, they start cutthroating. Backbiting. You say, I can't make it to a soul winning time. We're not talking about making it to a time. We're talking about a way of life. We're not talking about you got to come on a Thursday morning or a Thursday night, or you have to come on maybe one of the Sunday afternoons, or come to the big soul winning rally on a Saturday in order to be right with God. No. We're talking about living it. We're talking about carrying gospel tracts everywhere you go. It's one thing to go soul winning. It's another thing to be a soul winner. But be somebody that cares. You say, well, I don't know how to witness. You don't have to know how to witness. Just give somebody a gospel tract and say, look, when you're on your break, read it. It'll change your life. How hard is that? I tell people, they say, well, you know, I can't go out soul winning. Can't be out there for hours on end. Okay, come for 15 minutes. Come for 30. You say, well, why is it then, if you're saying, preacher, be a soul winner, not just come soul winning, why is it that you have the meetings? All right, let me tell you why. Because if there's not some type of time when the troops come together, normally you won't go on your own. If I were to check you out tonight and I had you to fill out an activity report that we have our teenagers and our college kids to fill out that's in our Bible college, if I was having you to fill out an activity sheet tonight, and you were to be honest, very, very honest, and if you didn't come out publicly soul winning with one of those groups, and we have five different times to go out, but if you didn't come out soul winning with one of those groups, 9 times out of 10, if you were honest, you would probably say, I didn't go at all. So accountability is important. It is important that we are accountable to someone. Now, it just so happens that the pastor is the overseer of the church. Therefore, you have to be accountable to an overseer of the church, which is the pastor. Amen. That's why we tell our Sunday school teacher, boy, you know, be honest. Be honest. We ask all of our Sunday school teachers to go soul winning. Well, be honest and do it. We ask the choir members to go soul winning. Well, be honest and do it. We ask those that work in the front here as name takers and those that are men that work the altar. Hey, we expect you to do what you said you would do when you signed up to do it. Now, is it? That's what McDonald's would expect. That's what Burger King would expect. If McDonald's would expect it and Burger King would expect it, now I'm not talking about they expect you to go soul winning. I don't think we have a spiritual McDonald's like that here. But they do have things they expect you to do. They have things that they expect you to rise to. Why should you expect the church to be less important than a McDonald's or a Burger King? Well, I'm saying tonight, look, don't change the way that you live and don't change what you do. The Bible says, having your feet, it says, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hey, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8, the Bible says, to prove the sincerity of your love. So take your feet and prove to God how much you love Him. Prove to God how much you love Him as you go soul winning. Prove to God how much you love Him as you work on a bus route. Prove to God how much you love Him as you teach or help in a Sunday school class. Prove to God how much you love Him by singing in a choir. He says this. He says that you're supposed to prove to Him. It says to prove the sincerity of your love. Hey, you do things for other people because you love them. Let me ask you the hard question tonight. What are you doing for the Lord? Because you love Him. Well, I go to church when I feel like it. Well, I tithe when I want to. Well, I live for God when I feel like it. Well, I'll be righteous in front of my kids and wicked behind their back. No. You be right and you be fair and you be honest and you be the one. Come on. I worry about some of the kids, how the kids are receiving training from their parents because their parents are clueless about the way to train their own children. You know, the parents, well, they're letting this kid do this and this kid do that. And I'm not saying that you've got to live in a box with a bunch of rules. I'm not saying that. I'm saying build a relationship and be able to help your child by showing them Bible principles of truth. Because one day, Daddy, one day, Mama, you're going to be dead. You're going to be gone. That's why you have a responsibility to train your child in the way that they should go. Teach them the Bible. What a shame. What a shame. If you have a child and the only Bible they ever hear in your house is from somebody else's lips. What a shame. You have failed as a parent. What a shame. Why don't you decide that you'll get your Bible down and teach your children the Bible? Why don't you get back to having an old-fashioned family altar program? Why don't you get back to reading the Bible in the home? Why don't you get back to at least talking about the things of God? Why is it that you have to come to church to put on spirituality when spirituality first ought to start at home? Don't get mad at me. But we will have people that are less spiritual than the church criticize the church. when if you check them out, they're on spiritual period. Hey, get the house in order. Pray and walk with God and let your kids see you getting on your knees and praying and asking things from God. Get the house right. If the house will be right, the church will be right. I'm saying tonight, don't change what you believe. Don't change the way you live. Don't change what you do. Similar to next, don't change what you trust. Here's what the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith. You have to pick it up. You have to pick it up. If you did the acrostics of faith, the old acrostics of faith would be forsaking all, I trust Him. Sometimes you got to empty your hands in order to pick something up. If you have something in your hands, you've got to let loose of that in order to pick something up. Now here's what God says. God says that we're supposed to take that shield of faith. It says above all, it says taking the shield of faith wherewith, it says, ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All of them. He says ye shall be able. So if I take a shield, and it doesn't matter what type of dart, how big of a dart, hold this up over here. It doesn't matter what type of a dart, how big the dart, and it doesn't matter if I take that dart and I'm the wicked one, and I turn around and I spin and I throw that thing, if that shield is up there, it's going to protect him. It's going to protect his heart. It's going to protect his eye gate. It's going to protect his ear gate. It's going to protect everything about him. It's going to protect his mind. It's going to protect everything. Now, it's important, listen to me, parent, it is very important that you teach your child to trust in that which is the shield of faith. Because if you don't, they're going to be trusting something. Well, you know, I tell you what, I trust my friend. Well, I trust the people in the neighborhood. Well, first off, can I tell you, if they do not line up with that which is the shield of faith, you're going to get hurt.
Right. Amen.
You're going to, okay, now wait a minute. So let's say here's a parent. Parent says, I've got the shield of faith. Now the parent has a youth director. Get the hymn book, kneel down in front of him. A parent also has a youth director. Opens up his shield of faith. Wow. And then there's somebody else that works in the music department. He gets his shield of faith. He opens up his shield of faith beside the parent. Wow, look at that. Well, all of a sudden now we've got Brother Crutcher new on staff and doing a great job with arranging her Christian school. And so we put the child in the Christian school because we know within ourselves we don't have the ability to homeschool. And so we decide to get them under Christian education. There's a shield of faith. Then all of a sudden we say, hey, I'm going to take that admonition that was given to me by a Brother Butler, the college administrator, and I'm going to put my kid in school for at least 1 year so they can be grounded in the pillar of truth. So it happens. We have another shield of faith that's open there. Now understand what's happening here. You have a bunch of shields. Matthew, come up here if you will. Get behind that shield. Go over there and get behind that shield. Watch this. I can take anything I want to. And I can take this dart. Brother Palmer puts it up in front of his face. I can take this dart and I can levy that. They're all putting it up in front of their face. Forget the heart. Protect the face. And so Brother Butler's the only one. He's protecting Brother Jonathan. Brother Butler says, I can take it. Hit me. Okay. Now watch this. I can take that dart and my goal is to destroy that child. That's my goal. My goal is, now, come on, I've said this over the years. The devil goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now let me tell you the biggest whom that he wants to get. He wants daddy out of the way. Because if he can get daddy out of the way, daddy is the head scripturally of the home. He's the one that is supposed to guide the home spiritually. So here's what he'll do. He'll put money in front of daddy so that daddy wants to work and skip church. And daddy removes himself from being the head. He'll put enticements in front of daddy so that daddy is lured away. Before you know it, They're out doing something else instead of going soul winning. For you know it, daddy never comes to the altar anymore. Too spiritual for that. A daddy gets lured away. Now watch this, if you will. And so all of a sudden, when daddy gets lured away, go sit down or go away somewhere, there's one less shield. Now let's say that we decide that we're going to allow wrong music. Now it's gone because we don't have the shield up. Right. Let's say that we don't believe the youth director, and the youth director we look at and we say, well, he can't tell me what to do, and he's not going to tell my little teenager what to do. I mean, after all, look how old he is. But if he's doing more to tell your teenager what is right than what you're doing to tell your teenager is right, there's a place for him. But let's say that we get rid of that youth director. Let's say that we get rid of a Christian school. And by the way, let me help you a little bit. I believe in homeschooling. But I only believe in homeschooling if you're not going to deprive your children of the educational needs that they have in their life for self-advancement, whereby they can reach their full potential for Jesus Christ. And if you don't have the character to get up on time and make sure that your kids hit the books every single day on time, and you teach them without cheating them, hey, I'm all for it. But if not, let me tell you, you need to get them in a place where they're surrounded by that which is good, godly, holy type of teaching. Let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of it, Brother Crutcher. So we're going to fold that one down. And by the way, if you get rid of all these things, do you really think that when you go to your child and you say, by the way, I think it's a good idea you go to Christian college for at least 1 year of your life, you really think they're going to want to obey you? I mean, you've taken everything else that's righteous and holy out of their life. You really think that you stand a chance of them saying, oh yes, now I will be godly on my own? It's not going to happen. So we get rid of that. Now there's poor little Matthew, kneeling all by himself. The Bible says the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the devil says, I'm going to destroy you. You can smile at me all you want. You can bring your Bible all you want. But you're just a little guy, and I'm going to destroy you. That's what's going to happen. That's why I said don't change. See, we still thank you, BC. We still need some parents that say, hey, I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to live it, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to trust in it. I'm simply going to be the parent that I ought to be. And by the way, if the Bible standards were good for you, why are they not good enough for your children? If you pushed your children to go soul winning, why is that not good enough for you? If you get on your child and say, well, how come you're acting this way? Why don't you look in the mirror and take care of you? Well, I know it's quiet right now. That's why we have altar calls. But I'm telling you tonight, as a parent, you have to be somebody that decides not to change. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 17, the Bible says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, capital S, talking about Holy Spirit. It says, which is the Word of God. So what do? Don't change what you read. Well, I want my kid to read this good book because it's going to help him to have better people skills. Get them in the Bible and it will help them to have better people skills. Well, they need to read this book because this book written by such and such an author teaches about how to pray. The best way to pray is get on your knees and start calling out as simple as you can before a holy God. And you start riding that bike and eventually you'll get used to riding the bike. It's called Christianity in practice. See, it's not that we don't know Christianity. It's that we don't practice what we know. If we would simply practice, well, come on, back to the basics. By the way, one of the greatest football teams that ever played that won championship after championship after championship, the coach always said this, we're going back to the basics. Every time they would take and start messing up and start getting highfalutin and start feeling like that they were somebody, the coach said, back to the basics. And we as Parkside Baptist Church, we as Lone Star Baptist College, we as Parkside Baptist Academy and Champion Baptist Academy, it's back to the basics. The basics doesn't change. We may change the color of the carpet. We may have a nicer piano. We may have a nicer organ. We may have nicer pews for you to sit your body in. We may have an air conditioner now that works. We may have electronics that allows us to be able to hear better and speakers to hear better. And we have lights that now shows you that if you do open your Bible when the preacher's preaching, you can see what he's saying is true. I'm saying tonight, thank God for truth. Thank God for the Word of God and just decide to read it. We are led aside so much by opinions. Let me show you. Let me give you an illustration. Stand up. Simple illustration. Let me show you how people are. How many love Brother Palmore? You look, didn't you? Take down their names. How many believe in Brother Palmore? How many think he's doing a great job? You believe that? Okay, watch this. Let's say that Brother Palmore decides one day to, you're new, come here. Stand right there. To talk bad about Brother Crutcher. By the way, you don't know Brother Crutcher that well, do you?
Come on.
But let's just say, here is somebody that is well known. Somebody that is a wow. He gets up the lead singing and it's like, he leads you into the wonderland of expressing your faith through song. And all of a sudden, he gets cantankerous. Against him. What do you do with that? Here's what you do with that. No, that's not what you do. That's what should be done. Well, what do you do with that? Here's what you do with that. You say, well, he comes up to me and says, hey, Brother Wells, let me tell you about Brother Crutcher. And I said, wait a minute, let me ask you a question. Positive? Godly? Well, no. But you need to know. Not interested. If you got a problem with them, get on your knees and pray. Better yet, practice your Bible. Matthew chapter 18 says you go to him and him alone. Don't spread it around. Don't talk bad about him. Don't Skype. Don't internet. Don't face page, Facebook, face thing. Thank you. Face Twitter. I don't know. Don't mess with my head. But don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. Okay? All right. Now, should he try better? Should we all try better? Should we give him grace? Yes. Let me give you a good judgment. You give him as much grace as you want him to give you.
Amen.
Say, well, he's new. You were new at one time.
Amen.
Well, he's going to make a decision I might not agree on. Have you ever made one that somebody else didn't agree on? You know what that's called? It's called grace. Well, he's not perfect. Look in the mirror and you'll see someone else. What if he corrects my child unlawfully? First off, if he corrects them and you haven't, you ought to thank God for him.
Yeah.
Shame he had to beat you to the punch. Hello? Man, somebody comes up to my kid and says, man, you need to get right with God. And my kid comes walking in whining. Daddy, somebody said I need to get right with God. What do you think? I said, man, you probably need to do it. Don't be offended by it. Because the closer you get to be right with God, the better off you're going to be. And if you're doing something to cause them to think you're not right with God, then you probably need to stop it. Because you're hurting your cause and the cause of Christ too. But this thing about, what do you call it, FaceTime? Twitter face?
Facebook.
Okay, whatever. But you're messing with me again. But whatever it is, don't destroy somebody else. Don't do that. Hey, now if you're going to use something like that for the glory of God, and you're going to talk about Jesus, and you're going to talk about how wonderful God's blessings are, and it is super, but don't even use it to pray for so-and-so because have you heard? Don't do that. That destroys people's character, and it makes you look as unspiritual as you really are. That's a sly way of spreading gossip, backbiting, tail-bearing. Look it all up. It describes you. So I wouldn't do that. You know what I would do? Here's what I do. All of a sudden now, you hear that this guy is having trouble with this guy. Come here because I can't do it. This guy is having trouble with this guy. All of a sudden, here's what y'all do. Just kneel. Just kneel. Just pray. Just pray. And say, God, you know, these two guys, I love them both. Maybe both of them are not heads. But God, would you work? But you don't take one, not head's side against another not head.
Amen.
Because now you become not head number three. Okay, wait a minute. Watch this. Here we go. How many of you think Brother Palmer's a good guy? Good guy? You want to look? No. Okay. How many believe that Brother Crutcher pastored for 15 years, assistant pastor 1 year, 16 years total ministry experience. Just by that, he made it. He's still here. Shame he lost all of his hair. Well, he's a pretty good guy. Okay. Then don't believe one over the other when you should be praying about the both. Now, I'm going to tell you, in a church like this, there's going to be time. By the way, these guys have not disagreed. Well, you know what I learned tonight? In church, I learned that Brother Palmore is talking bad about Brother Crutcher already. Twitter, 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 tweet, tweet, Twitter, Facebook, Twitter, tweet, tweet, twat. Now, I love you in the name of the Lord, but you're stupid. Here's what you do. You get on your knees and you pray. Amen. And you said, dear God, the Bible talks about unity of the brethren. And so God, bring them together. God doesn't like it when there's disunity. So you pray that God would bring that together. Now it may take time, because if this brother tries to get right with this brother and this brother doesn't want anything to do with it, it may take time for God to soften his heart.
Right.
So what do you do as a child of God that really cares? You pray that God softens the heart.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, thank you. Be seated. Watch. One more. I'm done. Here it is. Don't change what you believe. Don't change the way you live. Don't change what you do. Don't change what you trust. Don't change what you read. Don't change who you come to. You don't go to man. You go to God. Oh, come on, come on. Daddy drank. Daddy came home drunk on Friday nights. Daddy was an alcoholic. Daddy was a drunk. Daddy was a businessman. Daddy brutalized us boys. Daddy brutalized my dear mother. Now, wait a minute. I want to show you something, if you will, please. Okay? When I got saved and I found out that Daddy was still doing what Daddy was doing, you know what I did? I could have tried to stop Daddy as much as I want to, but I'm one man against another man. I had to be careful about that line of respect. So what I did is I got on my knees after I got saved, and I fasted and I prayed for mama to get saved and daddy to, and I couldn't save them. I couldn't change them. But God could. So I got on my knees and I prayed. And I said, "Dear God, get a hold of mama. Get a hold of daddy and help them to come to know Christ as Savior." And may I say that's what he did. Now here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. I'm almost done. If you'll amen real loud, I'll be done quicker. Amen. Praying always, it says, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, says, watching thereunto, says, with all perseverance, that's what it says here, and supplication for all saints. So here's what he's saying. He's saying this. He's saying, don't change who you come to, who you're praying to. You pray to the Lord. You ask the Lord. You pray for the saints. Let me give you one last thing. Don't change your thoughts about your pastor.
Amen.
Don't change your thoughts about your pastor. Now, I love you in the name of the Lord, and I'm not a perfect man, but I tell you, you got a pastor that loves you, and you got a pastor that's going to try. Have you ever noticed this? I want to tell you something, and I'm letting you on the inside here, and I'm saying this. Josh and Mindy got married here in the auditorium. I want to help you with something. When Josh and Mindy got married in the auditorium, it's because they had earned the right to be able to do that. Now stay with my thought. When a person, if you will please, will begin to do things that will discredit themselves, don't get mad at me when I walk beside them to try and help them.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Don't get mad at me when I reach out to somebody, and don't get upset because you don't know everything.
Amen.
Don't do that.
Amen.
Well, I heard. You probably heard something's not true.
Right.
Now, I'm talking about all of our young people. I'm saying this. I am saying that it's very important that you understand that you have a pastor that cares for people. I'm not going to use this pulpit to rip anybody apart. I've had to remove people out of the youth department. You never heard one time their name from this pulpit. I've had to remove people from points of leadership. Never one time have I crucified them. Now why? I'm going to tell you why. Because you got a pastor that loves and protects the integrity of individuals as I try to restore love and help. So understand, I'm not. You don't have a pastor tonight that says, okay, you did this, and you stand up. Everybody in this room, you look at them. Here's what they did. I think any pastor does that is foolish. Because they are supposed to restore. Now wait, here's what I understand. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says, and for me. It says that utterance may be given unto me. This is Paul talking to those that's a church at Ephesus. He says that I may open my mouth boldly, that I may make, watch what it says, to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in bonds. And it says, therein I may speak boldly that I ought to speak. What's he saying? He said, don't forget me when it comes to praying. He said, I'm telling you, you pray for the saints. He said, but now, and for me. He's talking about prayer. He says, you pray for all the saints and for me. And for me. Can I tell you that being in the ministry of Parkside Baptist Church, Lone Star Baptist College, and Parkside Baptist Academy and Champion has a little bit of pressure that goes along with it? People come in and they come in with all their problems, and you listen to that mess for a while. You don't leave there saying, boy, I tell you what, I feel good tonight. You get to hear all humanity's problems. Normally, I've only got two men in my church right now, two men, they're not staff. I'm not talking about staff or paid faculty, but I've only got two men in our church so far that come to my office on a regular basis, normally about once a week, and all they do is they'll walk in at some time and they'll say, preacher, I just want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you and I'm here for you. And it's nothing big that they do. But now, wait a minute. Did you know that that is healthy? Now, other guys will catch me in the hallway every so often, and they'll say, hey, preacher, if you need anything, let me know. And they'll catch me in the hallway. All right, other people would take, and they'll, all right, no way. Do you know that encourages a pastor?
Yeah.
I've got one of our deacons that texts me all the time, and he says, thank you for being my preacher. I sure do love you. I mean, all the time. I've got another deacon that texts me, and he'll about every week, he'll text me, and he'll say, I'm here if you need anything. Come on. You know that encourages? I'm saying this. I'm saying, hey, look, as you pray for the saints, I pray for the preacher, and I pray that God will give him utterance, and pray that God will open his mouth, and he'll be able to preach bold and make known the mysteries of the gospel. Why? Because Paul said, I'm an ambassador in these bonds. Therefore, he says, I want to speak boldly, to speak those things boldly. Now, may I say, tonight is very important that you decide not to change. Truth is still truth. God is still right. Man is still weak. People are still wicked. You just decide, I will not change. And by the way, when you've been doing it for 30 years, you'll be able to look back and say, sure, I'm glad I didn't. Sure, I'm glad I kept going. When all of a sudden your kids start to marry and get out on their own and they start serving Jesus Christ, you'll be glad that you'll be able to say, sure, I'm glad I stayed by the stuff. Don't change.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.